Hello, I'm Kevin Grittner. I'm going to be giving the talk here this hour on a feature which was committed for the 9.6 release. It's been somewhat controversial. The title of the talk kind of is a clue that I made some error here in emphasis in adding this feature. So, because the error should really, if you're using the feature right, seldom if ever be seen. The error itself is the least interesting aspect of the feature. So I'm going to call a mulligan on the title. Use this as the emphasis of the talk, which I think I might have Josh Berkus to thank for. Was that your language?
Might have been Andrew.
Yeah. At any rate, when on the page where you're supposed to fill in descriptions of the features, I found that, and it's like, yeah, that's really good. I wish I'd said that.
Yeah.
So thank you. That really should be the focus of consideration here, and will be the focus of the talk. I'm going to briefly cover the concepts of MVCC and bloat, because that's what the feature is about. The talk is going to be very general in terms of describing those things. A lot of people have had good talks on these topics, and particularly Bruce Momgen has some slides out there that you can find on these topics if you want more information. But in summary, MVCC stands for Multi-Version Concurrency Control, and it's an alternative to update in place. As rows are maintained, you have the old and new versions, both kept for a time. You have snapshots to determine which version you're going to see when you run a scan. There's some big advantages to using MVCC. It improves concurrency and it improves overall performance. It's good technology. Postgres has been using it for a long time. There are two main ways that this is done. Oracle uses a rollback log, as I think some other products do. Postgres keeps the multiple versions all in the base relations themselves. So there are different performance impacts of the two different ways of doing it. One is better, each is better for some types of workloads, but the net effect is more or less the same. The particular feature that was added here is something that has been present in Oracle for a long time. It's something that when people do see the error, they're often annoyed. Although in discussing this feature in Postgres, a lot of people said that it was nice to have the option of having it particularly controlled by time rather than something more arbitrary. What happens in Oracle is that they have an update in place with a rollback log. So if your snapshot is looking for a version of the row that isn't the most recent one, it uses the rollback log to generate an older version that matches the snapshot. The rollback log is allocated normally to a certain size. I think somebody said that recently they've added the ability to configure it for holding a certain amount of times worth of rollback data, but normally people are configuring that by size. And when it fills up, you discard the oldest data in the rollback log. When you try to read a row and the old version information has been discarded, that's when in Oracle you get the snapshot too old. I'm going to be talking a little loosely here. When I talk about the old version that, or the new version, that includes the fact that the old version doesn't exist, if that's the case, or the new version doesn't exist, because obviously an insert only has a new version and a delete only has an old version. With this technique, you don't have bloat problems. You do have this error if you exceed the size of your rollback log. Until now, Postgres also just gave you one choice, basically. You don't have the in-place updates. As I said before, you've got the old version, the new version. As the old versions of rows can't be deleted as long as the transaction which made the old version dead is still running, or there's any snapshot which is still able to see the old version. And that in Postgres is indefinite. If you leave a query or a cursor pending for 3 months, that 3-month-old version is still available to look at. There is no limit. But what that does is it means that none of the dead rows for 3 months back can be cleaned up. So the usage of storage space can climb without limit indefinitely. The working set in your buffers and caches grows with it because indexes and scans still look at those rows and have to check visibility. Eventually, this causes performance collapse because you're running out of RAM, you're reading more from storage. This can happen in anywhere from a matter of minutes. I think the shortest timeline I've had to deal with was where failure to clean stuff up in 20 minutes started the downward trend on performance noticeably, to perhaps months. Eventually, if this is not noticed and not dealt with, the transaction IDs wrap around, and you have to deal with that issue. I'm sure some of you have had to deal with transaction wraparound problems where the circular nature of our transaction IDs forces you to do some vacuums to clean things up. Some of you probably also had to deal with bloat problems. But there is no problem reading the old data. That's good news. If the cluster is still running, if you don't run out of transaction IDs or have performance collapse that is so bad you can't run. The problems with bloat and transaction ID wraparound have been significant issues for a lot of people for several years, and a lot of releases have added features to mitigate the problem. We've been nibbling away at the edges of this from a number of directions for a long time. One big improvement was not assigning a transaction ID unless it was necessary because you were doing some writes. That kept the wraparound problems at bay for longer. Various patches have been done to, to advance XMin more aggressively, prune more aggressively. The visibility map helped with the vacuuming, keeping it more efficient. And now with 9.6, we have improvements with that as well with freeze info. And with monitoring, you can identify connections that are idle in transaction and kill those so that they don't hold a snapshot indefinitely. If a query is running for an extended period, you can kill that and allow vacuum to progress. By the way, if anybody has questions or comments as I go through here, we don't have to hold them all for the end or anything. So is it anybody? We're all good here. Okay. If the bloat progresses too far, it's very common that you need to use vacuum full or something similar to rewrite the table without the bloat in it. That needs an access exclusive lock. Nothing else can be happening in the table when that runs. So you need a maintenance window for that. If the problem goes on long enough, you may have to go to single user mode to vacuum to clean up the wraparound issues. So that's kind of the problem that we've had and the reason for the feature. It's not the only solution. I mentioned a number already, but it's another tool in the toolkit for dealing with this class of problem. And really, as I said, the title of the talk in terms of the snapshot to old error is misdirection, because the people who are using this effectively, the users never see that error. It's the whole point of this feature is to correct the bloat without generating errors by having to kill queries or connections. The initial proof of concept for this patch, limited by a number of transaction IDs, pretty much everybody complained about that as being too hard to configure. So it was reworked to be based on a time interval. So we have the old snapshot threshold is a configuration option for this. If it's set to -1, which is the default, the feature is disabled. There was some controversy because the initial patch, even when disabled, there was a performance hit. That's been fixed. 0 is a special case, only useful for testing. You should never use that in production. Otherwise, it's an interval basically in minutes with a cap of 60 days. I expect that in most environments, useful values will be in the range of a small number of hours to a small number of days. Like I said, I've seen one place where they were hitting problems in 20 minutes. They may want to go to 20 minutes, but maybe not. We'll see. What this limit gives you is if the transaction which updated or deleted a row to create a dead version has completed, an active snapshot is only protecting the dead row from vacuuming for this interval, after which it can be vacuumed away. There are some special cases I'll talk about a little bit more in a minute where we're not able to do the early vacuuming and maintain correctness. So it's not 100% protection, but none of the other techniques that control the problem are 100% either, and people will probably want to be using combinations of techniques here. The change to pruning and vacuuming is very minimal. Basically, when it's going to do that, it checks whether this is a relation that it's safe to use this technique on, and whether the transaction that created, whether it's safe to do it on this table, and whether the enough time has passed that early cleanup cleanup on an earlier transaction ID than it would otherwise use a later transaction ID, I should say, that a later transaction ID can be used for the vacuuming than it normally would use here. Now, once you've done the early vacuuming, you've gotten rid of some rows, and there's still a snapshot that should be able to see those dead rows, you're in a situation where nothing has been canceled, nothing's broken, nothing's wrong yet, but if a scan tries to use that snapshot to scan pages where the early vacuuming occurred, you'd get a wrong result from the scan. So the other side of this, besides the early vacuuming, is detecting when you're in a situation where the scan in progress cannot return or may not return a correct result. So this is where you may get a snapshot too old error, but your goal should be to try to configure this at a level, at an interval, and use this in a way where that is rarely generated and rarely, if ever, passed on to an end user. If this only affects scans, the maintenance access never gets this kind of error, so that the relations can be maintained properly. There were somewhere near 500 places where we grab a page to use for something, and about 30 of them are used in scans where this can happen. So it's a relatively small percentage of the sites where a page is used. Perhaps some of these things can be improved on later, but right now we don't try to mess with system catalogs. We did have a bug in the initial thing because hash indexes are not wall logged, and that means that we didn't maintain the LSN in the pages for them, and that meant we couldn't accurately detect when we were in trouble with a snapshot too old. So that's to correct that, any table that has a hash index on it is not subject to the early vacuuming. Can't. So those are excluded from it. And finally, because if there was a heap scan, and pages that had been subject to early vacuuming were truncated away, we wouldn't be able to detect it. When the feature is enabled, vacuum will not truncate unused space at the end of a relation. So those are the special cases that come up when using the feature. Yeah.
As far as I recall, temptables don't
get a balance. Yeah, temptables are excluded as well, yeah. Yes. Correct. The question is, we're only going to get one of these errors thrown when we come across these pages. You can run indefinitely with the early vacuum and not get an error as long as you don't try to read data that was modified. I'm not sure I understand the question. Your question is, if you have done early vacuuming in a table and you do a sequential scan, you can get this error in situations where you don't think Oracle would hit it? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is Oracle, when the big O ends up running into this problem, I'm trying to think if there's a case where you can actually have gotten data back from the query or not. Most of the time that happens, you're not getting data back. Maybe there are cases where you could be getting data back. I'm not sure if there are. But I mean,
Is the concern that you could get some rows before hitting the error that, or I'm not.
That's become part of the question, yeah. As to whether that's something that's an issue or not when using this feature. Maybe it's not.
In general, I would recommend that if people get an error running a query that they don't try to use, you know, partial results. There are exceptions to that, but. It is true that with this feature, any results that you do get back before the error should be untainted.
Yeah.
So, any other questions? Yes. The question is about new indexes that are implemented as extensions. Actually, what the test that's made isn't, I oversimplified a little when I said hash indexes. What it checks is two things. It checks whether whether there is any index on the relation that is flagged as unlogged. And if it's unlogged, then that table is not subject to early vacuum. And since, for some reason, even though our hash indexes aren't wall logged, we don't have that flag set. So I made that an implicit test as well, that if it's either a hash index or it's explicitly flagged as not wall logged, then we don't do the early vacuuming on the relation. So if you're going to do an index as a plugin that is not wall logged, make sure you flag it correctly and it'll work correctly. Any other questions? Okay. We got into this whole thing because of some users who had a problem where, you know, it's a large organization. They have a very large application. I forget the number of lines of codes. It was more than they wanted to rewrite to use a different database. Their application was working on Oracle and SQL Server. They tried running it on Postgres and ran into problems. We were fixing, you know, one problem after another. A lot of patches made it into the community, fixing various problems they had. This wound up when we fixed a lot of the memory leaks and general performance problems, we got down to their next test was a 2-day extended run where they had Java applications or simulating users with ThinkTime, and they wanted to see a 2-day run that did not have problems. And it fell apart. You know, as the bloat accumulated, performance dropped, and eventually the whole thing crashed. And this patch, along with several others, cured that so that they could run their existing software. With all the other patches, the rate of bloat declined considerably, and those are all in the community as well. Most of those went in 9.5. But the numbers you can see there, at the end of the first day, in the overall database, they had one dead row for every 24 live rows without using the feature. In other words, a 4% bloat figure that was heaviest in certain key tables. So it's worse than that sounds. With the patch active, they settled in at a 0.5% bloat and stayed there. The 4% bloat was growing. By the end of the second day, they crashed and burned without the patch. With the patch, they let it run for 30 days without problems. Yeah. I'm not sure I quite followed that question. Could you restate it? And okay. If you're thinking if they're then updated again within the same transaction or something, or
not necessarily the same, but
Yeah, I think we've looked at some of those cases before and talked about it on the lists, and the subtransactions were a complicating factor as well. I don't know if you want to do anything with these mice. They're starting to make some. I felt something shift and they're getting noisy. Well, that'll be a problem. Okay. So I'm not sure I answered your question, but I'm not sure I really understand it either. Do you want to? Should we keep trying or move on?
We can probably discuss it after.
Okay. There are some use cases that can come up where this feature is particularly beneficial. One that we've seen is where people run some periodic long-running reports, like monthly statistical analysis or such, on the same database where they're running other things, because, you know, it'd be nice if you had a different database for everything, but you don't always. And so these are some of the cases where the bloat has led to performance problems. And in some of these cases, the reports are running off of data that's been extracted in order to run the reports and is not being modified. And so you can set this threshold at a level that keeps the bloat in check and have no risk of canceling your long-running reports, and everything's fine. This is perhaps the sweetest spot for the feature, where you've extracted data for reporting. You're running reports that against a fairly static set of data. Another place that we've had a couple groups of users want to do this because they've been doing it in Oracle is they've got a report that's driven off of a table that has a unique index on it. And they're willing to relax the snapshot requirements a bit. That's not that unusual. Postgres already does that, as I note on the first bullet point here. On read committed, we are willing to relax that. And some people are willing to do that for some of their reports. And basically what happens is, as they run through that first table in the same order as the unique index, if they do get a snapshot tool there, they know where they were in that sequence. They eat the error, keep it from the end user, and restart the query from the point they were at. And so, as far as the user's concerned, the report is still running. There was a rollback and a restart to pick up where it left off. The snapshot is a new snapshot, but there are users who are willing to live with that. A sort of related situation is one of the solutions to paging through query results is to use a cursor. And if somebody has a set of query results up there and they're paging around, they may leave that for a long time, which can lead to the bloat problems, and this controls that problem. And again, if they remember where they are with the cursor, if they get a snapshot too old, the user doesn't have to see that. They can reissue they can declare the cursor again, pick up at the spot they were at, and continue showing with updated data, and that works out well for some people. This would be a nice thing if it could be done just in general. Right now, when the feature is enabled, there's still a significant performance hit. If you're going to use the feature, you have to allow for that. You have to have the spare capacity to allow this feature to eat what it needs to do its job. I think with 8-byte atomics, we may be able to get it low enough that people could sometimes just set this up as a backstop. You know, if all else fails and you would otherwise bloat, you've got something to keep you out of trouble. Right now, that's not something you can do in a lot of situations unless the machine happens to have a fair amount of spare capacity. So I left some time here, 10 minutes for discussion. I know this has been kind of a a controversial topic and tied for third in the Scary Patches contest. So I thought people might want to talk about it a little bit. We did. Yes. Okay, this a little back and forth here about what the overhead is and how much in what situations. The overhead that makes it impractical in a lot of situations to use as a backstop is the when you get a snapshot. And I guess I should say that you know the worst benchmarks have been read-only workloads, and in a read-only workload, this feature has absolutely no benefit. It's not something you'd actually use in a read-only environment, but you know there are read-mostly environments that are close enough that makes a good test. I have found I've tried a lot of different data points in terms of performance and have occasionally hit spots where enabling the feature, you know, gives better performance in fairly short benchmarks, just like a 40-minute benchmark, just because if you look at the statistics, you see that there's a much higher rate of hot updates and the hot pruning is kicking in earlier and saving chasing through the chains of updates on a hot chain. That's not the norm, but there is at least when you're doing updates some compensating benefit that kicks in reasonably quickly that somewhat balances out some of the extra costs. Any other questions? Well, I think we can leave early for lunch.
Wait, Kevin?
Oh, yes. I don't remember. The question is, we added some functions to test to be able to better monitor the state of snapshots. Do you know what those are? I don't remember those. Okay, yeah, so Josh is suggesting we maybe should have some more functions here to better monitor what's going on in these environments, right? Yeah. That's the gist of it. Good point. Anything else? All right. We'll call it done. Thank you.